You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. Okay, I feel like the only appropriate way to start this review is with this. Guys, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry. Like, I mean, I knew that there was, like, a pretty good chance that Ugly Dolls wasn't going to be exactly great, but I did not know the level of banality that we were
for
really
a second in. There, I thought you were going to break into song and
no.
Kill you.
No, I only break into song for movies after movies that make me feel like singing.
You just break songs.
This movie actually made me not like music for an hour and a half.
Oh, look, Robert Rodriguez was the producer on it. Color me unsurprised, but the story by Robert Rodriguez.
Oh,
wait,
wow.
Really?
Yeah.
He really crapped that up.
Oh, wow. I did not even know he was involved.
This adaptation? Oh, I'm sorry, no. Hour and a half commercial for the Ugly Dolls half-assed line of plush toys. It was directed by Kelly Adam Asbury, who is apparently an experienced animated film director.
You really should have talked to the animators.
Well, he did Shrek 2 and Gnomeo and Juliet, which was actually surprisingly entertaining.
I've heard decent things about, and I did not dislike Shrek 2.
Yeah, it was okay. It was much better than Shrek 3. I don't know, man. What is there to say about Ugly Dolls? Somebody tell the plot of this fucking thing, because I'm, like, having trouble, like, getting emotionally ready to...
There's a factory that makes toys, and the rejects get spit out into this fucking utopia called Uglyville, where everybody has plenty to eat and you know, beautiful houses, and they play games all day, and everything's fine, but somehow this isn't good enough for the main character, voiced by Kelly Clarkson, named Moxie, who is insane. Her dearest wish is, like every doll in every movie ever made, is to be owned by a horrible child. And so she strikes out to find her way to the land of children, and she enlists her four hapless friends with her. And then they reach the town of perfection, which is the training ground for all of the dolls who have not been rejected, and where they learn how to negotiate all of the horrible things that happen when you are owned by a child, as in having to be put into washing machines and getting paint and Sharpie and dog drool and all this other shit happen to you. It turns out that there's a plot by the evil leader voiced by Nick Jonas, Lou, who is the most perfect of the perfect dolls. And he, of course, wants the Ugly Dolls gone, but...
He's also worried about his rep as a nice guy.
He's also worried as his rep as a nice guy. So he ostensibly lets them...
He basically nags the entire population of Perfectville.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I've done very little research on this. All I know is that this is based on a line of toys. I didn't even know Robert Rodriguez was involved. I haven't seen any marketing. What no one told me was that this is a musical. And to that point... on the surface, it seems like a smart idea to cast a bunch of well-known pop singers in the leads. The problem with that is they can handle the music part. Some of the performances are not as strong, and the music itself is so weak that you could be the greatest singer in the world, and the third time you hear the theme song, you just want to leave.
It's the most banal pop songs will ever come across, and it's obvious that I'm halfway convinced that they just bought up a bunch of D-list songs that people like Katy Perry and Britney Spears and Kelly Clarkson herself had rejected as, this isn't really on brand with me. And they brought him in and they were like, okay, how can we jackhammer these into the plot?
Yeah.
That pretty much sums it up. I mean, every time they start a new song, like all three of us sitting in the row there just went, I actually made Martin laugh because we didn't know it was a musical, right? So the moment they start singing, which is very early in the film, I just kind of drop my head and he just starts cracking.
Now, to be fair, a lot of these songs
carry the plot along. They're just basically, this plot point is happening now. Now we're going to sing about what is happening exactly right now.
You've described every classic musical ever right there. Now, some of this is Mickey Mousing the plot points, is rather than these scenes being acted out, the themes are being explicated through song, which would be fine when you have, a great songwriter, but they don't have that here. What this film does have working for it, and I had to think about it, but yes, let's look at the positive things here, because this is a very positive message type movie for children, little children. Let's remember our target demographic here. This is a movie for under 8. That's even pushing it. Like the 4 to 6 year old crowd
Weirdly, the bulk of the jokes seem to refer back to like 50 year old, really old jokes that require you having a reference point for.
And the thing is, the jokes are not only tired; they're just not very well executed. It does have a kind of this. This is better than direct to DVD quality animation, but it does have a kind of charming, tactile surface. It's an entire world made out of like felt and corrugated cardboard.
Or at least
and
the
stitching.
Ugly world is.
And the ugly world, which is kind of a delightful little place. It even has a moon that's just a broken button, which is a nice little bit of visual poetry. I appreciate it. And the sun is a big ball of yarn.
And you are really trying to find good things to say about this.
That's all very sweet. So visually, as a visual person, I'm like, okay, that's cute. I can see how a child is going to feel very comforted in this little world. But let's be honest, if you're a grown-ass adult, you don't need to see this movie. If you're a grown-ass adult who has maybe a child around 6 or under, this is a perfectly diverting 90 minutes where they'll be quiet and, eat their popcorn and leave you alone. And if you're a child, what the fuck are you doing listening to this?
You say that, but I was actually paying pretty close attention to the audience's reactions, and it was packed with kids. And they were not reacting.
No.
They were bored.
Yeah.
I don't even know that they were bored. They were simply lulled, which is what, as a parent, I think you want. They're like, you will just be mesmerized and just possibly put to sleep by this, which, let's face it, every time your parents put in a movie, that was their ultimate goal, for you to go to fucking sleep.
Just go to sleep.
Just look at the pretty colors and hum along to the repetitive robotic rhythms of these bland pop songs until you fall the fuck asleep.
It's child morphine.
It pretty is. It pretty much is. Now, if Morphine did this soundtrack, that would have been so much cooler. But they never lived long enough to do a child soundtrack. So
true. But hey, man, the guy with, the ultimate nightmare, he died on stage.
Hey, that's the ultimate rock star dream, dude.
Is it?
To die doing what you love? Hell, it's better than, choking on your own vomit in a fucking sleazy hotel room covered in... Wait a minute. We're talking about a children's movie.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
We got distracted by things we'd much rather talk about.
Exactly. It's too easy. I'm just like anything, really, at this point. I'll talk about Trump. I don't care.
There you go.
There's just not a lot to honestly say except for what we've said here. Really banal, boring songs. Like, animation that's better than direct-to-DVD, but like you said, just barely. Yeah. Humor that is just so dull as to be unremarkable in every single way. I mean, there's literally, usually even the worst of comedies, I'll at least find something I chuckled at. There's just nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
I'm trying. I'm reaching. I'm like, film, I'm trying to work with you here, but you're giving me nothing. Yeah. The performances aren't good because they're all largely musicians and not even good, really good musicians on the whole.
There's a bunch of 14-year-old girls who would take offense at that.
Well, I'm sure they would, but they probably
aren't
our core audience.
14-year-old girls even listening to Kelly Clarkson?
I don't know anymore. They're probably early 20s now.
When I think of Kelly Clarkson, I think of Steve Carell, not Kelly Clarkson. So I don't know.
That was a while ago. It was, and yet still.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. There's so much in this stuff that it's like it's almost instantly dated the moment the dialogue comes out of the screen.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was dated long before the dialogue came out of the screen was the problem. You know, and it feels like I should like this with the message of, like, so they're ugly, but only as long as they think that they're ugly. You know, they're, oh, you're reject, so therefore you're no good. You're not pretty like these pretty people. And ultimately our message is like, none of that matters. It's more important who you are inside and you've got to love yourself and yada, yada. And a bunch of stuff that's tertiary to basically just that message, which we have certainly seen a thousand times before and done much better than the way this shits it out.
Like I said, when it starts out, all of the ugly dolls, with the exception of Moxie, everybody's happy as hell.
Yeah. No, she's the one who's, she's the only one who's like, I've got a theory that there's aliens out there.
And I want one of those aliens to own me.
I want to be owned,
She basically opens the Pandora's box that destroys Uglyville.
Yeah, and it, there's a whole weird sequence where it's like they're making fun of, like, movies from the great about the Great Depression. I'm like, what 6-year old is gonna even know what's going on?
The right Oliver reference.
Like, they're in a soup line. It's just like, wait a minute, the last time we were here, everybody had cupcakes and pies, and they were fun. What happened to the food supply?
Because the economy was based on good vibes.
Yeah, the economy was based on happiness and good vibes, much like the tulip mania.
Yeah, there it was. The bubble burst.
The happiness bubble burst.
I guarantee. We're going to be the only review of this movie that references the tulip mania from Holland. For sure.
Could I interest you in some shares of stock? Invest in the EC company. This is not a, like I said, if you're looking for something to put your kiddo to sleep, you're not going to like want to gouge your eyes out. You can just sit at the Alamo, drink a beer, let them nod off. But anybody else, you know, come on.
Guys were doing better than Martin and I was, because you guys got food, and I saw y'all. Y'all are just tucking in, going like, yeah, whatever movie. I'm eating a cheeseburger. Yeah, I'm fine.
Well, because, you know.
At least there's something to do.
This was the one, like, this was a screening that was, like, really out of my way today. And I was like, I have never driven further for less than this. And so I didn't get to have dinner. So I thought, well, I'll eat. And that was, honestly, the bright spot of the movie. It's like, fries are pretty good.
If I were a parent, I found every musical number in this to be out and out fucking insufferable. So, like, even then, even if my kids are distracted, I would be like, this makes me want to close my eyes out.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong at all.
And if you're an adult and you see this movie and you're not a critic and you don't have a child with you, you should be arrested.
The biggest problem with
you're up to something and it ain't no good.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest problem we've got here is that if your kids do actually like it,
you're in for it, dude. If you're forced to buy this soundtrack, God have pity on your soul. Yeah.
Yes, but then it is incumbent upon you as a parent to go, okay, you got through that. Maybe you're ready for something a little bit weirder.
Daddy's going to be playing Hot Rocks by the Rolling Stones the whole way home, okay?
Well, I was thinking it's in terms of film choices, because I've always thought that the best kids' movies are the ones that maybe skew a little bit to the dark side and aren't afraid to kind of scare children a
little
bit.
I think if your kids make you suffer through this, you should take them home and make them watch City Walk's Children.
Agreed. But let's not belabor the point here. Yes. Let's go to final thoughts, Marco.
I think we've kind of summed it up. This is as animation, it's nothing you haven't seen already. Plot-wise, you've seen these points, plot points taken from other better movies. You've heard better pop songs. I mean, it goes on and on and on. There's nothing about this film to distinguish itself from any of the other films. The only thing it's probably got going is it's probably the only movie that's come out this month that is appropriate to take a 6-year-old to. You know, depending on your 6-year-old. I mean, if you want to take them to a Tarkovsky film, I mean, then you got a really cool 6-year-old. But chances are they're not ready for that. Like I said, put them to sleep, put some headphones in, and listen to much better music while your kids nod off. I give this 4 out of 10 button-shaped moons.
Wow, four. Okay, Bo.
It was in focus.
You give it four stars for being in focus. Yeah,
it was in focus, and it didn't offend me on a moral level.
The digital print didn't burst into flames at any point.
At no point was I in fear for my life.
At no point did somebody say, you know what, actually, you should be pretty. Fuck being ugly.
There was no poop on my seat.
That's right. This
no
thing
child
was,
vomited on me.
This thing was way too long, and it was only an hour and a half. They could have easily pared out a half hour of it, and even then, they'd probably be better off with just making this a half hour special for a DVD only release. Everything about this movie is lazy. The character design, the animation, the story, the songs, just everything is so bargain basement here that I'm surprised it wasn't badly dubbed as well. You know, so that's
well,
one of the few
when
things
they release it in China.
Yeah, that's one of the few things that I can say is that the characters' mouth movements actually match up to what the voice actors are saying. So well done there, ugly dolls. Other than that, there's just not much redeeming, and I can't even really even recommend it to people that, you know, just need a movie to see with their kids, unless you've got a really young kid, because as Marco said, this is one of the few things that's come out this year that you could actually take them to a theater to see. This was an insufferable, obvious treacle, and I'll have no more truck with it. I give it, two, neon colored lumps of shit with googly eyes.
Now, this is like, if the Asylum tried to do a Toy Story movie. It's almost like a mockbuster. It's so bad, and it's so blatantly ripping off stuff from Toy Story and other things, but in a way that's like, did you actually watch the movie?
You would expect to find, like, yeah, this is the knockoff edition of Toy Story that you could only buy in spots of Asia, and it's called Plaything Tale.
Yeah. And my friend, Fuzz Blightbeard. Yeah.
It's just not good. I just can't think of anything good to say. I mean, I think just because, like, trying to give it points because, well, at least six-year-olds have a movie they can see. I'm like, no, I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to give that points because there's...
Fuck you, six-year-olds.
There are animated films out there that are really good that come out that six-year-olds can see. Although those are the times I get irritated by them because I'm like, hey, I'm trying to watch the fucking movie. Can you keep your kid quiet?
Look, you're the grown man who came to see a cartoon. Settle down.
Right. I realize I'm in the wrong, but I don't care, my God. They're talking.
I've noticed this about
they're
you.
They're talking during Spider-Man. We're going to have words. Or, you know, gibberish. I don't know.
This man made me cry. It's Spider-Man. Fuck off, kid. Be quiet.
This movie was made for me, kid. I don't know how to break it to you.
This was made for six-year-old. Six-year-old me.
I've been waiting 4 years to see this motherfucker.
This is not made for anyone. It's made for executives who think that this is going to help them sell more ugly dolls. And I honestly couldn't even tell you how well the Ugly Dolls product sells. I presume somebody somewhere is going to bug their mom to buy them an ugly doll after seeing this movie. There's one. But why this did not come out like on the strangely huge amount of stuff like this that comes out on Netflix that nobody knows about because our algorithm doesn't show it to us, but it is there, or direct to DVD, I don't know. It feels like they're throwing money away with a theatrical release on this film, but who am I to say? I will say it is decidedly not for me or any sort of person that has what I would describe as
taste.
cognitive ability. It's just garbage, and you should be embarrassed that it exists in our world.
If you're trying to trick Grandpa out of a coma, though, put this on in his hospital room.
He'll be like, I'm fine, I'm getting up.
Getting up! I was trying to sleep.
I give this 1 out of 10... fuzzy cats that couldn't even warm my heart. That's bad. You got a fuzzy cat character, and I'm like, fuck that cat.
I don't even remember there being a cat.
There's gibberish cat.
There's gibberish cat. Yeah. But also, that was going around played by Pitbull that said he was a dog, that was a fucking cat.
I know.
You have never seen a dog in your life if you think that is a cat.
I bet you it was supposed to be a dog, and Pitbull's like, nah.
I'm a cool guy.
I'm Pitbull. No,
that's why he was rejected, because it was a bad dog doll. Looks too much like a cat. Throw it in the recycling bin.